You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back. Great to have with us this third and final hour, my friend and yours, Jason Kuna. He is an author, a YouTuber, advocate for white well-being. He has a couple of books, including Born Guilty, also Go Free, a guide to aligning with the archetype of Western kind. You can get that on Amazon. NoWhiteGuilt.org is the website. Jason's motto, dignity for all, even whites. Jason, how are you?
I am splendid now that I'm speaking with you, James. How are you today?
I'm doing great. You're also speaking with my right-hand man and longtime co-host, Keith Alexander.
His lieutenant, Keith Alexander. Good to talk with you, Jason.
Great to speak with you too, Keith. How y'all doing?
Well, we're doing good. We're doing good and bringing you on to talk about a topic that's not so cheerful. And that is, of course, censorship. Now, we had Kevin McDonald on in the previous hour. We were talking about this in a more generalized discussion, particularly how censorship has infected academia. One of Kevin's colleagues, Ricardo Duchesne, recently cashiered at his university for speaking out against demographic replacement of Western people. And we had told the audience that we would be addressing in some detail with you what took place on YouTube a few days ago. Now, to me, it looked like it was the biggest mass censorship that the platform had put forth to date. You can give us all the details, though, Jason. Take it away.
Well, I sure will. I really quickly, though, I want to shine a spotlight on people who are often left in the dark when we talk about the work that we do. And they're actually the people who make some of the biggest sacrifices, and that's people like your family, James, your wife, your lovely wife, your mother and father, your church. These people are terrorized by this anti-white doctrine that pervades Western civilization. They're made to believe and think that by association with you, their lives are going to be ruined, they're going to be ostracized. The fact that these people carry on and support us, the ones that do, truly makes them heroes. They're unsung heroes. We too often overlook the sacrifices that they make, and too often we have friends, family that turn against us when they find out, when it becomes public that we stand up for our people, our dignity, our heritage, white well-being. Too often we have family members that abandon us, and as a result, those who are on the front lines are left empty, are left alone, and very often then they retreat to the darkness as well. And that is a tool of the anti-white Jews, specifically when they come after us content producers on places like platforms like YouTube. And what happened recently, this massive wave of censorship that swept through, deleting entire channels, deleting videos. I had four videos deleted arbitrarily, videos two of which had already been deemed to be impermissible relative to the view of the general public. But so they were put in this limited state, but they still were permitted to be on YouTube. And yet these videos, too, were deleted by YouTube. My esteemed colleague, the brilliant Jared George, who says nothing effrontery of any measure, by any measure, he is one of the most dignified and polite individuals that produces content. And specifically what he produces is content that focuses on our history, our heritage. He doesn't say a single word about any other group, or certainly any group that is protected. But this is the kind of thing that the anti-whites want to deprive us of. They know now, by way of their actuaries, by way of observing what everyone is doing on their social media networks, the things they're saying to each other, that we as a people are beginning to look elsewhere for our authority, look elsewhere for our guidance. And that means also looking elsewhere for our history and heritage that is being effaced from history. And so it's people like Jared George. It's people like Zurius, a music producer who doesn't include any verbiage in his music whatsoever. it's just this new sort of techno music, fast wave music, whatever you want to call it. And this is the kind of thing the anti-whites know in their lofty, despicable towers that our people, nationalists of all of our nation, will be able to cling to and make use of in the revitalization, revivification of our peoples and our histories so that we can defend ourselves. They know that we need these things to be able to defend ourselves, and that is why they are making these moves now. And, of course, YouTube was working hand in glove with the ADL, an organization clearly aimed at the erasure of all things Western and Western civilization. And we know this by the fruits of their labor, which is that whenever somebody starts making a little bit of progress in the cause for white well-being, the ADL swoops in to destroy them, to destroy their lives, etc. And, of course, this, again, we see, so it wasn't just the deletions of channels, but also the deletion of videos and the demonetization, so that people who had become reliant on the income from YouTube would have to quit producing content, go back out into the regular anti-white world and get a job that they then stand the chance of losing if they continue to produce content on the side. Again, demonstrating that the anti-whites want nothing more to do than to inflict injury on Western kind and Western civilization. They prove it again and again by every single act that they make.
Well, Jason, this is Keith Alexander. Just let me say this. We need to use the same tactics on them. I've often said that the only sound a liberal fears is the click of a closing purse, and we need to deplatform ourselves, from time to time. Don't buy McDonald's. Don't buy Coca-Cola products. If they're going to line themselves up against
you'd
us.
You'd starve to death if you were waiting for
this is hitting James where he lives, okay? But, we need to use their tactics and turn them on them. And basically, we need to make people aware of the fact that this is not honest criticism of white people. This is intended to destroy us. And that's what all of these left-wing movements have been doing. We were talking with another person earlier in this show that the civil rights movement pretended to be pro-black. It was anti-white. The feminist movement pretended to be pro-woman. It's anti-male. The homosexual rights movement was supposed to be pro-homosexual. It was anti-heterosexual. Everything that they do is the inverse of what they portray it to be. And by deplatforming you, they're just telling you that you are effective and that they want you to stop because they cannot get in a debate with you, because if they get in a debate with you, they will lose a debate to you.
No.
Well, I just want to ask you this. Go ahead, Jason.
No. Please, James.
Well, what I was going to say, well, just a couple of comments, first of all. I mean, it is very curious, the ones that they choose to ban. I don't remember who it was, if it was Josh Neal or someone. He said the relationship with YouTube is like that with a crazy girlfriend. You don't know what's going to make her mad or what you need to do to stay in her good graces. But you mentioned Jared George, who's a gentleman's gentleman. I mean, he is one that the hammer came down on. And then, of course, over on Twitter, which is a separate conversation, but Jared Taylor was really one of the only ones to pay the ultimate sacrifice, and he's basically the Mr. Rogers of the alt-right, or whatever you want to call this movement. So it seems to be just very unpredictable would be one way to put it. Very
keep you off balance.
We'll collect our thoughts. We'll come back with Jason. Stay tuned. We've got to take a break.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen, by a friend of Medjugorje. Whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen, by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
When it comes to content creation, our guest tonight, Jason Kuna, is a true machine. And I would encourage you to follow him on Twitter at No White Guilt NWG, at No White Guilt NWG. You can go to his website, nowhiteguilt.org. That would be your primary point of contact, I guess, to get more information about his book and his live streams and everything else he's doing there. A prolific content creator, and he is one of the ones that have been impacted by, of course, this YouTube censorship. Now, we were talking about the randomness of who gets the hammer dropped on him and who doesn't, and you made mention of Jared George, who's a gentleman's gentleman, Jared Taylor. I mean, these two guys didn't violate any terms of service by even the most deranged interpretation of the language, but yeah, these are people that are getting whacked. And I was saying this last week, Jason, so the ADL was heavily behind YouTube's decision here, and they said that they had to work with YouTube to censor some individuals because they were promoting this conspiracy theory that Jewish organizations are so powerful that they impact national policy. So in order to disprove this theory, here you have this very powerful Jewish entity doing exactly what they said the conspiracy theorists were alleging them to do, and that somehow is supposed to disprove the what was going on there. But my question to you, Jason, all that being said, is we see limiting. We see shadow banning. We see taking down some videos while leaving others up. Some people get nuked altogether. Some people don't get touched. Why wouldn't they just nuke everybody and just be done with it? I mean, what's stopping them? And if they did do that, what would you do?
Well, the reason why they don't just have an across-board censorship is that would, and that's actually a really important subject because it is an immense revelatory action that at the same time is immensely powerful and empowering to those who are able to disembroil this and see why they don't do such a thing. The reason why they just don't have an across-the-board censorship is because they have to perpetuate the illusion that there is this freedom of association, freedom of speech, that there are still freedoms in the United States. And they have to perpetuate this because there is a power in the United States that is greater than these multi-million, even multi-billion organizations. There's a power that is greater than the government. There is a power that is greater than the banks. And that power is the many scores of millions of middle-class white Americans that if they were to wake up tomorrow and realize that all of this is just an illusion, that it's a theater of governance, a theater of law, a theater of freedom of speech, they would turn on these puppet masters. They would turn on these anti-white entities. They would revoke and rescind their allegiance to these entities, and they would look to people like us for guidance. That is a power that is far greater, and that should be something that fills every one of your listeners with great pride and great hope for the future, because they would not, the anti-whites, would not continue to make this propaganda. They would not continue to restrain themselves, withhold their hand from just a widespread banning. They wouldn't do that if they, the anti-whites, didn't realize that this strata of middle America is greater and more powerful than they are. Who are they propagandizing? Why would they bother to propagandize anyone if they held absolute power? It's revelatory on every single one of those layers. And now I had just about 7 weeks ago, that I got received a message from Liv, the wonderful woman who built whitedate.net in Germany. And she said, Jason, your content is no longer available in Germany. I had not received anything from YouTube and still have not. And then, like dominoes, people from European country after European country sent messages saying all of your content on YouTube has been deleted. It just says that you have no content on your page. I discovered that this was indeed the governments of Europe that were intervening, not even asking YouTube to ban my content in their countries. They were putting their hand or their foot down on the neck of the content coming into their country. And by doing so, revealed that what I share when I share with people these lexicons, when I share these dialectics of going free, that it is actually empowering them, that it is applicable in all situations. They can customize it for their countries. And that these anti-whites in the leadership of these governments have realized that this is genuinely a threat to their continued domination of thought, which means their continued domination of action. And to me, it was an absolute honor, because you can still get the content of our greatest greats like Jared Taylor in Europe, but you cannot get the content of No White Guilt, of Going Free in Europe. So that is to say a lot. That is really to honor me what these anti-whites have done.
Well, Jason, let me interrupt you. I think the people readily understand after hearing you hold court here for the last segment why you are so effective. I mean, Keith, you are a man who has made a living being able to talk. You're an attorney. I mean, talk about – this is just a departure, because I just have to make mention. I mean, we want to work with Jason much more closely going forward. Jason's been around. I've known Jason for a long time, but he's really exploded onto the scene over the course of the last 2 years and just really building a big head of steam, going in the right direction and becoming a very powerful voice. But this man's ability to articulate, this man's ability to express his ideas – it's really about matchless.
Well, that's probably why he was chosen for deplatforming. This is, they apparently will allow a few evergreens like Jared to stay, but then on the other hand, they took Jared off of YouTube.
Well, they're talking about Twitter, yeah.
Off Twitter. See, they're entirely capricious.
Six in one, half a dozen.
The thing is, I don't think there's any method to their madness. I think that they hear something and they get like a bulldog with a bloody bone. And they want to get you off and destroy you if they possibly can.
A Southern colloquialism there, Jason. But Jason did give an excellent answer as to why they don't just nuke everybody. And yeah. I think that was a very prescient answer. I agree.
And I can see why. See, they don't want new, fresh, young, intelligent, informed voices like Jason coming in here, because that shows that the movement is gaining steam. It's growing. And they're going to take you out and pretend, you know, cast you into the outer darkness.
Well, if we had the solidarity, Jason is so correct. I mean, if people did wake up to what was going on, if whites consolidated and solidified as a group with unique interests, as everybody else certainly already does, the puppet masters game would be over. But yeah, I think Jason made a very good point. They do it in such an incremental and gradual way that people just are still essentially lulled to sleep.
The old frog in the stew pot analogy.
Well, Jason, we should have booked you for 3 hours rather than 30 minutes, but we'll look forward to having you back on in very short order because you are an incredible guest, and I want to encourage everybody to check you out on YouTube while they still can anyway. NoWhiteGuilt.org, of course, on Twitter. Give all that contact information, Jason.
NoWhiteGuilt.org. You can find all of my platforms on that website still. My store has just recently been censored from Store Envy, but we are busily building a new one. This is the way forward. Real quickly, I will just say, folks, this is not just going to continue to be content producers and content consumers. You're going to have to participate in finding us, hunting for us. You are going to be actual participants in this service to White Wellbeing. It's not going to be a, well, they're not on at 5 anymore, and so I'm just going to miss them from now on. No, this is the true way forward. I set up 2 new accounts for everyone they deplatformed me from, and that's another promise to the anti-whites. It's been a great honor to be with the both of you, James and Keith, and I cannot wait until we can do it again.
You're going to be the Scarlet Pimpernel of the movement. You're going to be popping up all over the place, keeping them all balanced.
Well, I'll tell you, we will do it again soon, Jason, and it's extended even to people as relatively toothless as Alex Jones, and Alex does good work on some levels, but I think I read an article recently that said if you type in Alex Jones on Google, InfoWars doesn't come up to the 3rd or 4th page. So, I mean, there's a lot of tricks going on, and they're getting ready. They're setting that stage so that these people, our people, don't have influence over the 2020 election. Jason, thank you, as we did in 2016. Thank you, Jason. NoWhiteGuilt.org, folks. We'll be back to wrap up the show next.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump is touting a deal he struck with Mexico to avert tariffs.
Mexico is doing a great job at the border, really helping us. We want the Democrats to help us as much as Mexico, and we'll have absolutely no problem at the border. We'll clean it up very quickly.
President, they're speaking to reporters at the White House before heading off to Iowa. Acting Homeland Security Secretary Kevin McAleenan appearing before a Senate Judiciary Committee today to discuss the situation at our southern border. McAleenan claims the crisis at the border is getting worse.
This escalating set of crossings from 60,000 a month for the first 3 months of this year. When I came to this committee in December, I testified about a peak day of 3,029. We had 5,800 cross the last week of May. We've gone from 100,000 to 109,000, 144,000, divorced from the seasonal averages and processes we've seen in the past.
USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Captain Obvious, and every day thousands of people book trips on Hotels.com. Trips you will later hate like. What's a hate like? It's when you like Becky's picture of another perfect waterfall, even though you kind of hate it. It's not that you hate Becky, it's that you hate that she's there, and you're at work listening to Lisa talk about her alleged food allergies. Don't hate like Becky's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there, do that, get rewarded.
At Indeed, we understand that when it comes to hiring, it's important to have a large talent pool to choose from. But sometimes too many good options can be overwhelming. That's why Indeed doesn't just give you access to a large pool of job seekers. We also offer screener tools that let you instantly narrow down your search. Hone in on hiring with Indeed. Experience Indeed for yourself today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
American small business remains bullish on the economy. With the latest, here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
Maintained by the National Federation of Independent Business, its Small Business Optimism Index for April is up, hitting a 7-month high. Most businesses reporting that sales improved in April after being soft in March. Job creation plans were up, hiring still strong, and the expectations for sales, business conditions, and credit conditions all improved. The Federation says the nation's small and independent businesses are bouncing back from a slow first quarter. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Former Vice President Joe Biden will hit President Trump head-on during a trip to Iowa on Tuesday. Trump and Biden will both be in the Hawkeye State at the same time today and tonight. In Biden's remarks, he's going to call Trump's presidency a threat to the United States. Meanwhile, the president often refers to Biden as Sleepy Joe. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome back. Get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Folks, I'll give you a little behind-the-scenes truth about how it works here at TPC. By the end of the second hour of every live show, I get a text from Jack saying, "Put me in, coach." Yeah. Here he is. Here he is now, batting cleanup, closing the show as he so often does.
Getting out of the on-deck circle into the batter's box.
What a great song. John Fogerty, yeah. Center field. What a song for summer. You know, Creedence Clearwater Revival had such a unique sound, that swamp rock. How you doing tonight, Jack?
I'm doing just great. Yeah, this was an independent song that John Fogerty did after he left Creedence Clearwater. They had some family disputes and rivalries. I think people were jealous of John's success, so he did this on his own. But I think it's one of the best baseball songs. And, hey, baseball is our sport. It's the American pastime. We invented it. And our lads, if you look at the College Baseball World Series, getting ready in Omaha, Nebraska, it's all – Southern teams, with the exception of Michigan, a Midwestern team, including my alma mater, Vanderbilt. It's all Southern teams. Everything I've heard about is that Omaha, Nebraska, where they have the World Series, is just a folk festival where you play baseball. It's not that they do politics. And so I was trying to say, like, let's step back from politics and do some culture. And I think Breitbart News says politics runs downstream from culture. So baseball, particularly college baseball, is really one of our sports, particularly the Southern. Our listeners to just get involved in it, enjoy it, and hopefully there'll be some stars that'll come out of it. A coach will become so popular he can run for a governor of a state or a senator or something like that, because we're certainly not doing well in media, academia, or national politics. We're just getting humiliated, deplatformed, destroyed. So maybe we can have some big successes in culture, and particularly certain sports like college baseball.
Well, we probably outlaw baseball if we continue to dominate.
Certainly not diverse enough. We know the song recommendation and why, and I want to get to your other recommendations, Jack. But a quick the point of information: when is the College World Series, and are you going to go to it?
It starts. The whole postseason. I'm sort of new to following it. I didn't follow college baseball when I was at Vanderbilt. There's three levels. They have a regional, a super regional, and then the World Series in Omaha, Nebraska. The first game of that in Omaha, Nebraska is on June 15th. I think, what's that, coming up this weekend, and it lasts.
Saturday.
The championship is on June 26th. So it's about 11 days, and I think it's just, again, a folk festival of baseball, and it's in Omaha, Nebraska. It's a Midwestern place, but all of the teams, with the exception of Michigan, are Southern teams. So go there. Sort of like NASCAR, I think, used to be, that it was a folk festival, and people hoped that there would be some positive political trends from the NASCAR nation. I don't think that really happened, but I think that baseball could do some great things politically and culturally. And just sometimes you just need to get away from politics and just do something that's healthy in summer. And so that's what I'm recommending for our listeners to do, is to get really plugged in the college baseball World Series. It's not nearly as promoted as college football or college basketball, but I think it's growing. The attendance is very good, and you look at the crowd. They're healthy, good-looking folks. There's more offense in college baseball than in Major League Baseball. The pitching isn't as good. They use metal bats. So I'm just getting into it. And, hey, my team was the number two-rated team in the nation going into this, and the number one-rated team was UCLA, and they got knocked out by Michigan. So my
you got a chance to go all the way, Jack. You better be there for him.
Well, you know, Jack makes a good point. College baseball today is what college football used to be in 1960.
Sure. Yeah. College baseball used to be the Southern state. Black Americans had their own Southern football teams, and they were very good. Grambling, TSU, the great Chicago player Walter Payton went to Jackson State, but then they integrated and made it up. And now I think that just white Southerners are strongly discriminated against in college football, that even if you're as fast as the other guys, they don't let you play. And it's a brutal game. It's too violent. And it's really college football, and is almost like you're watching gladiatorial slaves that you play, and they look good, and then they're beat up and brain dead when they're 45. So I would encourage our listeners to try to break the football addiction and go in for other sports. College baseball, volleyball is good. I'm a tennis player, and so college tennis is a good sport. So there's lots of sports that our people can get into.
You mentioned the foot.
Yeah,
sure. No, I get why you're making mention of that tonight. You mentioned how they treat these college football players. I mean, you know, not that there's – what do they ever do for us, you know? But,
right.
but a lot of the college football players, let's just say they come from the small town south. I mean, I think it was called Straw Dogs. I believe that may have been – something that if I'm remembering correctly, that the Chinese used to have, they would worship these things and then burn them after the ceremony was over.
What do they call them? There's some type of, it's not Potemkin Village, but it's.
Oh, I don't want to get off in the weeds here, but anyway, I mean, they worship these people as if they're gods while they're playing football, and then, like you said, after
cargo cult is what I'm thinking about.
Well, it's not that, but anyway, that's an aside. Let's try to shoehorn, Jack, before this segment ends and we go to your general theme of the night. Let's try to shoehorn in the book and movie recommendations, because I know it's they're in line with the song.
Okay, my movie recommendation is Pride of the Yankees. It's the story of Lou Gehrig starring Gary Cooper. And it is sort of one of these ones. It's like a feel-good movie about this great Yankee player. He's the second-best player after Babe Ruth, and he's a very... It's a tear-jerking eyes when he helps the boy that had polio, and he's like win one for the Gipper to hit a home runs and things like that. He'd go in there, and it's a very positive story about a real person, Lou Gehrig, that died early of Lou Gehrig's disease. Gary Cooper did with a number of movies that are very, very well-liked, but are not this goody-two-shoes Americana ones. There are Mr. Deeds Goes to Town, which is Frank Capra, and then my favorite Western, High Noon, which is very negative about mainstream American society, that they're religious hypocrites and cowards. I think that's a tremendous movie. But I would recommend, if you want a pro-American baseball movie, you know, you're going to probably cry during some of it, but it's Pride of the Yankees, the Lou Gehrig story.
All right, and then the book, Jack.
Okay, well, I was going to write a theme of a kind of a contrarian baseball book, Ball Four by Jim Bowden, but I am going to do a political one, which was They Dare Speak Out by Illinois Congressman Paul Finley, and he was a congressman in the 70s and early 80s, and then he got taken out by the Israeli lobby. And it's interesting to read a book then that there was some conservative Republican opposition to just Israeli lobby, AIPAC, just dominating totally, or was enslaving us in our foreign policy and military policy. So we had some people back in the day. Now we pretty much have.
You see what happened to them.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you see that they did. And now the only opposition to these neoconservative Zionist wars or just pro-Israel everything. There's some honest liberals, that Hawaiian congresswoman who served in the military and saw how disaster the Iraq war with Tulsi Gabbard was. And she gets to be on Tucker Carlson. Like, Tucker Carlson's the only honest guy on the media that's even somewhat open-minded to our positions to be immigration restrictionists and then oppose these foreign wars. They don't come out and say, oh, yeah, it's the Israeli lobby, it's APAC that's doing this. But they're just saying these wars aren't good, they're not for us. And Tulsi Gabbard gets to be on Tucker Carlson. So the book is there for those people who want to read it. And the powers that be don't want you to read honest books about honest history, but we do at the Political Cesspool. So that's why I'm recommending. And I met him in person in the early 90s. He's just a great guy, a Midwestern guy who's just honest and just wants a fair deal for the Palestinians, for the Christians, and the Holy Land. And he stood up for what was right, and he got his career crushed.
He's kind of like, rather than Mr. Deeds goes to Washington, it's Mr. Deeds gets kicked out of Washington, right?
He gets kicked out, yeah. It's like Mr. Smith goes to Washington, and then he loses, you know. So I sympathize with him. Just a really nice guy, a really nice wife that I met him in the early 90s when I was in Tennessee, and I was doing a one-man opposition to the first Iraq War, and I showed him my advertisements I took out in the Tennessee newspapers. And he's just an honest, good person, but you think there aren't any honest people in Washington. But there was one, at least one. You know, we hope there are going to be more.
They don't last long.
Yeah, we do what we can. But those are my recommendations for today. And, yeah, read, see the movie Pride of the Yankees. Gary Cooper's, he looks just like Lou Gehrig. And Lou's a mama's boy. He worked his way through college, through fraternity guys. And he married the first girl that took a shine to him. It's a great movie. So it's sort of like a Christmas movie that you
are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. By a friend of Medjugorje, the strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q, The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
Between the parades, picnics, and fireworks from coast to coast, most of us are experts on how to celebrate Independence Day. This year, we invite you to join us at Liberty Hall in Far West Utah for a grand old 4th of July celebration that focuses on why we celebrate. From noon to 2 p.m., come and hear patriotic music by Radiant Productions. We'll be showing a screening of A More Perfect Union. Enjoy free hot dogs and popcorn. And hear Benjamin Franklin speak on the Declaration of Independence. Make it an Independence Day to remember, Thursday, July 4th from noon to 2 p.m. at Liberty Hall, 3677 North, Highway 126 in Far West Utah. Sponsored by Loving Liberty. All proceeds benefit Follow the Flag.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, folks, we're blowing through commercial breaks like I blow through stop signs on the road. And in honesty, I wanted to keep things equal. I believe in being fair. Since we blew through the first commercial break, I figured it was only just that we do it to the very last commercial break of the show as well. But, Jack, we get so carried away with Jack. Who can stop? I think if I turn down the commercials,
there's breaks.
If I turn down the commercials to where I can't hear them, it means that the network won't actually take them. But it never seems to work out that way. But anyway, Jack. So we got your book. We got your movie.
Let's get back on the Jack wagon.
That's right. The book, the movie, the song. We got that done. I just want to ask you before you go to your overall theme of the evening. They mentioned a couple of times tonight that we're in the smack dab middle of the year, June 15th, the middle day of the middle month of the year. And of course, with that comes those rising temperatures. And I know that could be a dangerous thing in the city of Chicago. Has the undertow been animated by the rise in the Fahrenheit? Have they been agitated? How's the crime doing in Chicago?
It's a long, hot summer, in other words.
But we had a very long, cold, wet spring. Everything's looking very good. But crime, violent crime, murder, man, is tied in a lot into the weather. But it used to be, and I have a long experience in Chicago, that our Chicago's really, really cold winters and springs would dramatically cut crime, violent crime. But now our criminals can rob and kill people in any season. They're like cockroaches that survived the nuclear war. So they really adapted to that. But I want to recommend a couple of websites. We're losing everything in the media. It's the national media, including Fox News and Breitbart. But there's some blogs that you should follow. If you're interested in Chicago crime, I want to recommend three blogs. One is Crime in Wrigleyville and Boys Town. The other is Second City Cop. The other one that keeps the stack is Hey Jack. And then it's AS. It's another one. I don't probably use the one. But the Hey Jack one will just list the daily shooting and then the murder totals. Most of the murders are shooting ones, and so they have it. But, yes, very much tied into the weather. So weekend, the 8th, there were 25 shootings and two murders. And one of the reasons murders gets somewhat kept down is that we really have military hospital trauma centers. So when these gangbangers shoot each other or other people, they get helicoptered in to the medical and they don't die. So we have 3,000 shootings last year, 600 murders. And I think we're about on that pace right now.
And it's probably like Memphis, Jack. In Memphis, you see a lot of black guys rolling around on wheelchairs that have been shot in the lower back and are paralyzed, right. Paraplegic, stuff like that.
Sure.
That's what happens.
Right. Yeah, they have it. They adapt to that. So, Chicago, I mean, I don't want to just say that Chicago is worth it. I think it's the most beautiful modern city in the world. Our lakefront and riverfronts are just really beautiful. Lots of festivals. But you have to just be aware of the situation, and it's not just gang members killing other people. This stuff does spread over, and what we have, a new phenomenon, it's sort of similar to the soccer hooligans of the 80s or when I was in New York City, wilding mobs. It's when school gets out or weekends, you get these mobs of 200, 300 young teens, 12 and 13-year-olds, and they take public transportation, and they invade fashionable areas. The Magnificent Mile, the Gold Coast, they fight amongst themselves, they shoplift, and they just have a grand time terrorizing people. And we don't have anybody that's tough law and order, because you can't touch a 13-year-old. All you need to do is let them go. And it's a one-party state. We've got a new black lesbian mayor. I actually voted for her. She was better than the alternative. But
that's a mouthful right there.
Yeah, that's just good. I mean, again, that's why I recommend that book, Dante's Inferno, is that there's levels of hell. It's not just that you...
Dante's Inferno is too good.
Yeah, there's other levels, so they can get worse, and then you have it. And then, but if you're street smart, you know what you're doing, and the folks that listen who are on our show or listen to our show are going to be street smart, so they're not going to be surprised about this stuff. I've only been successfully robbed one time in my entire life, including when I was a little kid, and I let my guard down
by the IRS,
watching a smartphone on a bus, and they have professional teams that steal the smartphones. One guy steals it, the other guy interrupts, and they caught the team afterwards and identified them through a one-way mirror, and they did a good job that they wanted to bust the guy. So they made the guy who robbed me, he was a very young, short guy. I guess he was 16. But they had other people in the lineup and who didn't look anything remotely like the guy who did this. So he was African-American, but they had this old guy, 6'5" guys. They wanted the bus, so he got convicted. So they did a good, they did a job. So any event, that summer in the city, a lot of people get out of the city. They go to Wisconsin. They have lakes and things like that. So I would recommend to our people just not get all burned out, obsessed with politics, which just sucks anyway. But get into something possible, positive. Watching collegiate softball or playing. And one thing that Chicago's got is a unique form of softball. It's 16-inch softball. It's barehanded, and you don't need, all you need is one ball and one bat. And it's a tough game. You play with a new, hard 16-inch softball, and the object is not to hit the ball whether or not. You try to hit it at some guy and break his fingers and his ribs. It's a great game. I like it. I think it's a good game. And if you come, and we could get it. We could get our listeners to play Chicago 16-inch softball, eat some Chicago pizza. I'd love to have the show done in Chicago. I think that would be a good party.
It's got to take the show on the road, Keith.
We'll have to do it. And tell me, is the North Shore still the white flight refuge that it used to be, or is it
the North Shore kind of let me flight? It's more the rich, like WASPy blue blood, and then rich Jews. I got some of my family, one small part of there. But now immigrants don't come to the city to have immigrant communities. They go right to the suburbs where the public schools are better. So a lot of places that you think were one ethnic group, Skokie was famously all Jewish, but now it's Indian, Pakistani, so they go into the suburbs. So the city is not, it's not where big immigrant communities go. It's more people go after college, yuppies, students, gay people, and then we've got a big black flight problem that middle-class black Chicagoans don't want to live in the ghetto with other people, so they go to the suburbs or other states.
We've had that down here for decades.
Yeah. So
All I remember is that I think it was NECA or someplace was where Home Alone 1 and 2 were set.
Yeah, so. NECA, North Shore, I got from my family's. They're all named after bucolic tree places, so they're Glenview, Park Force, Forest Park. They're not view of crack dealer or view of like crime scenes. But I don't know. I just sort of I'm always kind of a city guy. I like the country, but I've always just considered these suburban people just to be cowards and sissies, and you know, just kind of like guys that Mitt Romney's would live in these places. They're always wearing a sweater. Their hair is always combed, and then you know, I just like to actually encourage them to come in the city, get their cars stolen.
Well, we gotta go up to Chicago. I don't know. I was trying to think. I don't know if we've ever broadcast the show live north of the Mason-Dixon line. Now, we did go up to a Council of Conservative Citizens conference in Indiana 1 year years ago, and I don't remember if we did a live show from there or not. We may have.
Indiana wants me.
Lord, I can't go back there. But, Memphis and Chicago, I'm sure, could find some similarities between the two. And when Jack is next back down in Memphis, you've got to give Jack the definitive, the quintessential tour.
Well, all I can tell you that Tom Sunick basically was crying in the back seat, begging me to go back into the white neighborhoods.
Well, we roll around in an armored tank when we do the tour.
I did that course. You know, but I recommend other self-defense weapons besides guns in a big city. Just know how to handle yourself, know how to see who's who. Don't look like a victim, and be well-read. Be prepared. That's what the Boy Scouts used to say. Be prepared. Now the Boy Scouts got feminized. They can't have it. They can't have boys in the Boy Scouts anymore. Have to have trans.
Feminized men and masculinized women. No wonder the birthright's falling.
You got it, but yeah. But enjoy some.
You know, I like what we've been doing here. Like, well, I mean, Jack is typically our closer anyway, but I like having to get all hot and bothered, everything up in a rankle, the first 2.5 hours of the show. And then, you know, we decompress, we have a little fun. We still cover some important topics, but we have a couple of laughs. We lower the blood pressure before our drive home after we leave the station. That's a good way to do it with Jack. Jack serves
humor
a big role.
Humor is a good weapon. I mean, our enemies across the spectrum, they're humorless. They just like, whether it's Islamic, 8th century Islamic extremists or these feminists, these politically correct people, they are obsessed with the idea that some man, like a white Anglo man, is having a good time, laughing, enjoying life, having a beer, and they're obsessed that that can't happen. And they'll do that, but screw them. We can have a laugh. We can enjoy life. We can, you know, we can
and we do.
Have a laugh. We do. And we're not giving in.
But you got to have a balance in life. You got to have a balance. I mean, we don't, you know, it's not like the last 30 minutes are all just monkey shines. We still cover important work of the show. But it is good to have a little humor and to kick back a little bit and relax. Us. And, you know, of course, Jack helps us do that. So I like the way the show continues to evolve, and we roll with the punches based on personnel. I mean, people come and go in this, business. And, but right now, we've got a good thing going. And I appreciate it, Jack. Thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you next week. Hey, keep us posted if you head over across the border into Nebraska and hit up the College World Series. We'd love to hear a full report on what you see.
You'll be our man in the banner.
You know, I would be particularly interested to see, you know, what it is from our perspective. If it's, you know, healthy families. Enjoying a hot dog.
Or if it's virtue signaling.
Yeah, we'll just see. We'll see. All right. For Keith, I'm James. Kevin McDonald, Jason Kuna, our guest, Jack Ryan, our weekly correspondent. We'll talk to you next week,
Kevin,
everybody.
McDonald.
Don't forget to support our second quarter fundraising job. Good night.